I have to tell you that every day living in Bristol is like Christmas. Where we live, right in the middle of downtown, we do a lot of walking. Walk to restaurants, walk to coffee shops, and everybody is friendly. In this very building next to our home, which is St. Michael's Parish House, they feed the homeless and the poor Monday through Friday. And they're some of the nicest people as I walk by to talk to them and ask them, you know, what's happened in their life that they're facing these kinds of times. This is a very, very patriotic community. It's a very, very well-run town financially. You never see, for example, an emergency financial crisis in this community.
How do you explain that? We've seen, you know, there are some communities that have a lot of financial distress. Why do you think things seem to be better managed here?
I give both Democrats and Republicans who have a lot of Bristol pride all the credit in the world because, first of all, we have a volunteer fire department. They are some of the most dedicated women and men I've ever seen in my life because they're here at the drop of a button. They work for free. I think the town has taken great pride over the years in terms of not spending more than they take in. And as a result, we Bristolians, that if I can call myself that, I'm really not, according to what a true Bristolian is.
Let me just stop you there for a second. Why don't you explain to us the distinction between a Bristolian and a Bristolite?
Well, I will tell you, let me answer your question by telling you a quick story. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and I told her that I was going to do this interview with you, and she said to me, tell me, have you ever been the Grand Marshal of a 4th of July parade? Oh, I said, God, no. The difference between being a true Bristolian and a Bristolite is the difference between being the Marshal of the 4th of July parade and never having a shot in your life about being the Marshal in the 4th of July parade.
John, you've been watching Rhode Island politics for a long time. You had two stints as chairman of the state Republican Party. You ran for Congress. What is your sense of how Rhode Island has changed or not changed since when you were first active with the Republican Party back in the 80s?
Oh, I think Rhode Island has changed a great deal. The sad part about Rhode Island is that there are so many people moving out of our state. Ian, I can't tell you how many of my friends, as soon as their children graduate from college, they're in Boston, they're in New York. That makes me very sad. The state was really bustling in the 80s. The state did very, very well, I believe, under Governor Garrahy, under Governor Bruce Sundlin, and under my dear friend, Governor Lincoln Ullman. Economic development was really the key. You might recall he brought in Fidelity. Fleet Bank at the time expanded here. Citizens Bank was growing by leaps and bounds. And you just don't have that anymore in Rhode Island. Now, we're very lucky, Kathy and I. Our son is 31 years old. He started his own business after graduating from Roger Williams. He's in the landscape construction business. And our daughter lives in Hope, Rhode Island, and is an executive with Citizens Bank. She's in the investment side of things. And so we're the luckier ones, if you will. But, I mean, when you see the way the direction of the state of Rhode Island has been going, it's no wonder why people get very discouraged.
Now, you have a real distinction. Part of your time as Republican chairman back in 1983 in a special election, you focused on how the legislative Democrats had used a lot of the taxpayers' money, more than $1 million, due to a botched plan to redraw legislative districts. That resulted in about a tripling of the Republican presence in the General Assembly. We see how the Republican Party has really struggled since then to have a more robust presence in the General Assembly. There are only 11 Republicans right now in the 113-seat General Assembly. What do you think the party needs to do differently to try and recapture some of that stronger presence?
First of all, it breaks my heart to say you're absolutely correct. The Republican Party today isn't what the Republican Party was in the 1980s or 1990s, quite honestly. As a matter of fact, again, I hate to say this, but there really isn't a Republican Party in Rhode Island. The Republican Party nationally, in my personal and humble opinion, is going totally in the wrong direction. I mean, I'm for fiscal responsibility. I'm for no abusing people's wallets. But my God, I am a moderate Republican, and I am no longer accepting accepted in the Republican Party nationally. They would not support my candidacy, in my opinion, because I am not a true right-wing Tea Party person. And I don't think that you govern effectively when you're on the extreme wings of either parties, of the extreme right wing of the Republican Party or the extreme left wing of the Democrat Party. So I just think that the party, quite honestly, should take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, you know something? We haven't won the last two presidential elections. Maybe we're doing something wrong. We need to be a more inclusive party. When I was chairman, I'd have a press conference 2-3 times a week and articulate our views on certain issues. I haven't heard of every Republican Party chairman in this state for years holding a press conference talking about why we need a greater balance in the General Assembly. So it's very sad.
We're all looking forward to an exciting political year in Rhode Island with a hard-fought gubernatorial race. Alan Fung, the mayor of Cranston, is expected to be the Republican gubernatorial candidate. Democrats Angel Taveras and Gina Raimondo are expected to be in a hard-fought Democratic primary. What is your analysis of this race right now?
Well, I think that in the Democrat Party, we are going to see, we will witness firsthand, one of the nastiest primaries we've ever seen. Who benefits from a nasty party primary? The party that's not in power. So I think that Alan Fung has a real, real opportunity to talk to people about what he has done very effectively in the city of Cranston, bringing people together, Democrats, Republicans, the business community, the unions in the city, getting cuts because the city can't afford to continue to spend like it used to spend. I think Alan Fung will have a very, very great opportunity to be elected.
Let's turn back to some more pleasant topics. I know you're a big fan of Roberto's restaurant here.
A quick perusal of my body would suggest that I'm a big fan of all of the restaurants in Bristol. Not limited to Bristol, of course, but we have great restaurants in Bristol. La Lobster Pot, Jeff Hirsch, Leo's across the street, Micheletti's just opened on Wood Street, the greatest Italian food in the world. Again, Roberto's, Persimmon down the street. You're never going to go hungry if you come to Bristol.
John Holmes, thanks so much for sitting down with us.
I really appreciate it. I hope you have a great day here in our town.